Nearly 3 out of every 4 Wisconsin voters in April approved amending the state constitution to include specific rights for crime victims. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent today. Hard to imagine 75% of Wisconsin voters agreeing on anything in our current political climate, but it's easy to understand when you consider Wisconsin's history of attempting to institutionalize empathy. Call it Wisconsin Nice. We were the first state to create a Crime Victims Bill of Rights 40 years ago. We added victims' rights to our state constitution more than 25 years ago. And this spring, the voters' support for Marcy's Law was resounding, and we start your state capitol report this hour with finding out how well we're doing on behalf of crime victims. And if you have any insights, please share. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Rachel Sattler. She's an attorney with the Crime Victims' Rights Project and coordinator of the Volunteer Lawyer Project Madison Office at Legal Action of Wisconsin and the co-founder of the Dane County Multi-Agency Center. Rachel, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with a look at a compare and contrast. How does Marcy's Law compare to the existing victims' rights statutes already on the books in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, I think that that historical context that you gave in the intro is really important. Wisconsin has long had a robust set of statutory rights that are designed to protect victims against systemic wrongdoings and disregard by state actors, more specifically law enforcement agencies, prosecutors, and judges. So we had a really robust set of laws. Marcy's Law, in many ways, amplifies what was already existing, arguably, in those statutes. While there are some differences in the language and perhaps some clarity in the scope of the rights, it's in my assessment and in my colleagues' assessment, fairly clear that many of these rights already existed.
Those rights that already existed, Rachel, were they being applied in court cases? Were they actually being used?
Yeah, so obviously, laws only develop as people pay attention to them. And while the rights are designed to protect victims as cases move through the system, in reality, the people who the people whom the laws are supposed to protect victims from, those law enforcement agencies, prosecutors, and judges, are also the same individuals in the system who are enforcing those rights. So there has been a tendency, I think, to fall back on the use of discretion and sort of the minimal operational standards that those statutes require to make sure that victims have a place at certain parts in the system that are sort of widely accepted. But there hasn't really been, up until recent years, much challenge to what those laws mean, because there really hasn't been victims who are represented by attorneys and victims who have a deep understanding of the broad scope of their rights under those statutes.
So since Marcy's Law became an amendment to the state constitution, how have you learned how it's applied in the courtroom? How have you received any guidance, and from where?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of our main sources of guidance is going to court and working with those laws. And so we're informed by actually practicing in court. And our team of lawyers works throughout the state. So we can sort of get an assessment of what is happening throughout the state. But it is very limited, because there really are only a handful of lawyers who specialize in this area of law. As we've observed since Marcy's Law's passage, there is an increased awareness, certainly, to victims' rights in general, both those in the new laws in the Constitution and those that are reflected in the statutes. But our observations thus far, it's a little too soon to determine whether the attention that is being paid to these laws will result in lasting systemic change or dramatic modifications to the way the criminal justice system permits victims to participate in the process. So there is an awareness and an attention that's being paid to these laws that I would say is new by everyone that works in the system. But it's hard to predict right now whether that will die down or continue.
So the way it sounds like there may be a lot of discretion still when it comes to how Marcy's law would be applied in the courtroom?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Every county, every court within a county has discretion to make decisions about how a victim participates in the process, and DA's offices and court systems and law enforcement agents to create their own sort of policies and procedures, which means that victims are treated very differently depending on where you go, whether that's the municipality or a specific courtroom within the same county. Victims are treated differently depending on where their case is.
Protecting the victims seemed to be the overwhelming intent of the voters this past spring. Our guest is attorney Rachel Sattler. She works with the Crime Victims Rights Project. Prior to this, she served as a prosecutor in Milwaukee and Madison for a decade, specializing in cases of sexual assault, domestic and dating violence. If you are an attorney or involved in the criminal justice system and have some insight into how we protect victims in our court cases and how we protect the rule of law, 1-800-642-1234 is a number to our studio. Rachel, so we can better understand how this is working in practice now, can you give us an example of how you've worked to make victims heard in a criminal case and where Marcy's Law might fit into that?
Yeah, well, I think starting a few years ago, right around the time of the Me Too movement, I started observing an increased interest in victims to participate and actively seek to enforce their rights in court. And that is a distinctly different experience than previously, where victims may have the desire, have had the desire to participate and done so to the extent that they believed they could. There has been an increased desire to push on what that means and to be heard in new ways on issues. So one example that we frequently work on is in the area of a victim's right to privacy. For example, in sexual assault cases, it's really common for either the prosecutor, the state, or the defense to want to see the privileged mental health records or medical records of a victim. And while our courts have developed a system and there are statutes in place designed to protect the privacy of victims, victims previously didn't have a role and weren't able to participate in those motions. And that's something that we've been working on and on behalf of our clients.
It's Rachel Sattler, our guest this morning for your State Capitol Report, an attorney with the Crime Victims Rights Project and coordinator of the Volunteer Lawyer Project Madison Office at Legal Action of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. Chances are you voted for Marcy's Law. Now that it's in the courts, what do you think? We'll take your call when we continue with Rachel Sattler. I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network. So, how are Wisconsin's courts juggling the rights of the accused and the rights of crime victims following the most recent amendment to our state constitution, known as Marcy's Law? And how is it different during this pandemic? It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and attorneys, officers of the court, judges, jury members, those that have stood accused as well as the injured, we want to hear from you this morning about your courtroom experience. 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Attorney Rachel Sattler is with the Crime Victims Rights Project and our guest this morning. She's also a former prosecutor serving in the Milwaukee and Madison areas, specializing in sensitive crimes. And Rachel, earlier this month, a Dane County judge said that Marcy's Law should be thrown out. It appears as though the Attorney General, State Attorney General and Department of Justice is now reviewing this. Amendment now stand in the books? Is it still part of the Constitution? And what do you expect next?
Well, yeah, it is still right now part of the Constitution. And I anticipate that there will be continued challenges, not just to that decision, but perhaps other areas of Marcy's Law. That has been the subject of litigation in other states that have enacted Marcy's Law as well. So we don't foresee the debate surrounding it ending anytime soon. When it comes to the practical realities of what that means for victims and the system as we navigate these laws, it's important to remember that while these laws are enforceable right now, the rights are also reflected in the statutes. So one thing that we've been careful to do is to ensure that, you know, the advocacy that we're doing and the work we're doing on behalf of our clients is not based solely on those constitutional laws that were adopted through Marcy's Law, but rather based on long established statutes.
So then how does Marcy's Law affect the rights of the accused? It's intended to protect the victims, and the voters in Wisconsin overwhelmingly supported that. But are there concerns that the accused could be considered convicted before the actual court case with the way Marcy's Law could be applied?
That's a really good question and a complicated one. Obviously, that is a huge component of the debate that exists. But I think it's important, again, to keep in mind that there was already language in our Constitution and statutes that articulated sort of an equalization of victims' rights and defendants' rights. That's not to say that a defendant's rights aren't extraordinarily significant and that due process isn't required in these cases. But I think it is possible to give victims a role in these proceedings and give them a voice when their rights are implicated in the criminal justice process without violating the rights, the very important legitimate rights of a defendant throughout the process as well. I don't think one necessarily comes at the cost of another.
Have you been able to witness yet how Marcy's Law is being applied by defense attorneys and how they are taking this constitutional amendment into consideration?
Again, it's really hard to draw generalizations because this is still really fresh and people are still sorting it out. I think as well, there are complexities as a result of COVID that make it hard to sort of analyze the broader picture of what is happening with Marcy's Law. So we have anecdotal, you know, observations based on the limited court appearances that we've been doing on behalf of our clients, but that is by no means worthy of drawing conclusions drawing larger assessments about what's happening on the ground. COVID is really creating challenges for everyone involved, courts, defendants, DAs, and victims. So,
well, Rachel, you've laid out clearly here that we're seeing some inconsistencies from courtroom to courtroom, county to county.
Yeah.
How would you begin to resolve some of these inconsistencies so that you don't have to find out when you get into the courtroom, but know before you go?
Yeah, I think that, there are all sorts of organizations and the Department of Justice who provide guidance and trainings for people who work within the system on best practices related to victims' rights. But I really think that the way we make sure that victims are heard in court and treated fairly is to give them that opportunity, whether that's through litigation and sort of the pursuit of challenging what these laws mean, to develop the law, or simply inviting victims into the parts of the process that they have a right to be heard at, but have not yet been regularly participating in. I think that those are two ways that we can really get a broader approach to victims' rights. If as law develops, then courts have legal binding precedent, and everybody that works in the system has precedent that they can look to and follow to determine what their policies and procedures should be.
Rachel Sattler is an attorney with the Crime Victims' Rights Project, also coordinator of the Volunteer Lawyer Project Madison Office at Legal Action of Wisconsin, and the co-founder of the Dane County Multi-Agency Center. Taking a look at Marcy's Law in our state constitution and what it means in our courtrooms, what it means for victims as well as the accused, what can you share about your experience in a Wisconsin courtroom? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. And Rachel, you gave us one example of limiting access to victim mental health records and medical records. Are there other tangible ways that you've seen Marcy's Law at work in the courtroom this year?
Yeah, one very interesting component is, victims have had a right to a speedy disposition in the statutes for a long time. That's similar to a defendant's right to a speedy trial. What that means and how that's defined, again, is sort of dependent on where you are, but that is an area where, the accused and the victim's interests oftentimes align, and in this age of COVID has been a particular challenge for not just the accused but victims as well. How do you get a speedy disposition? Victims waiting for years and years for cases to resolve adds to their trauma, and that's a problem, and one a concern that is shared by victims and accused alike.
So, since this pandemic, the court system has had to struggle with how to find a speedy trial, among other things, how to adjourn a jury. What are some of the ways that you've seen this pandemic impact the criminal courts and victims' rights?
It's slowed things down immensely. There was a period of time where nothing was happening. Understandably, these are extraordinary circumstances and everybody's doing their best. But the reality is, for victims since COVID, things have been at a standstill for the most part. Cases are not resolving, and cases are not going to trial.
What does this mean for the
So,
victims? Because the voters wanted to support the victims in April, and that was so abundantly clear in a
yeah.
way that few ballot amendments or measures rarely are anywhere. So what does this mean for the victims?
I mean, it means that they're still waiting. And I think that that reflects sort of the broader point related to Marcy's Law, is that there's the laws that are adopted, but then if they are not implemented, or if people don't pay attention to them, then things really don't change. So whether this has the transformative effect that both proponents and opponents hope anticipated it would, remains to be determined. We're not seeing dramatic changes thus far.
Rachel Sattler, I very much appreciate your time this morning, and thank you so much for your work.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel Sattler, an attorney with the Crime Victims' Rights Project and the coordinator of the Volunteer Lawyer Project Madison Office at Legal Action of Wisconsin. She's also the co-founder of a nonprofit called Dane County Multi-Agency Center. We've got the news coming up next. Our state capitol report does continue after that with a look at how adjusting legislation could help pharmacists better address the COVID-19 response. We have had a slew of good news about potential vaccinations on the horizon and soon. But what does this mean about distribution? And if you've been concerned about the institutional way we have dealt with the pandemic, does that cause some concern about the way we will roll out the vaccine? Would you even take a vaccine? Questions worth asking as we continue your state capitol report with the CEO of the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin here next to talk logistics and what to expect in the weeks and months ahead. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.